science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to Think Works, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week, I want to take a look at some of the ideas in my book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, and chapter 10, I think it is, which is Work and Life in Harmony. So we're talking about, it's a subject that everyone talks about and corporations like to say, oh yes, we believe in work-life balance, and then send you an email at 11 p.m. at night telling you you need a report to be in by 9 o'clock. It's just ridiculous lip service, and we need to actually readjust the way that we look at how we use our most valuable resource, which is our people. Because, and it, again, regular listeners will know that I bang on about this all the time. The reason why productivity in the Western world is falling and falling and falling and falling is because we overwork the saw. We don't give it time to sharpen up, to sharpen the saw. That lesson that the woodcutter cutting down the trees didn't sharpen his saw and wondered why it was getting harder and harder to actually hit his daily target. We need to have a time out just to recharge the batteries. And proper work-life harmony is a duty of management on behalf of its staff, its employees, its team. And it's also a responsibility on you as individuals to make sure that you also get that work-life balance right. Because as many of us, we might be talking about managing it, but we're not. So work, life, time, technology, and the illusion within all that is that we control all of those, and we don't. So ever since the 1950s, we've been told that technology would free us. The three-day week, early retirement, automation doing the heavy lifting, productivity soaring. So here's the question, what happened? It's not because the technology failed us. It's because the management, the structures, they failed us and actually used the technology to benefit the bottom line at the expense of its people. And that is why the balance has gone wrong. Because instead of working less, most of us feel like we're working more. And technology is wonderful. It's also dangerous, but it's not evil in itself. It's because it magnifies whatever culture it lands in. And our culture, particularly in the UK and the US, has a strange belief. More hours equals more value. And I'm sorry, guys, and I don't care how high up and how rich you are or powerful you've become working in corporate UK or corporate USA. The fact is that it isn't true. And eventually this little pyramid you've built on foundations of sand, all these people that you are working to death, it's going to come back and bite you, and your company is going to fail. And it's going to fail because you have worn out the saw. And I think this is the lesson that everyone needs to learn. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is there's a kind of a blur. So technology hasn't just changed work. It's blurred the line between work and home. And let's be honest, in most cases, that blur only goes one way. Emails at 10 p.m, like I mentioned, normal. Messages while you're eating dinner, apparently urgent. But try paying a personal bill at 10:30 a.m. on your work machine and suddenly it's a problem. This blur is not mutual, it's extraction. And if you've ever sat down with your family while the phone buzzes and thought, I'll just check that quickly, you know exactly what I mean. And this is where everything is wrong. So my own wake up on this came a long time ago. decades ago, it feels like. In fact, it probably was. I got my first smartphone and I was thrilled. Calls, text, email, internet, all in one device. But then I discovered it was programmed to switch on at 6 a.m. and switch off at midnight. And that wasn't a tool, that was a tether. So I reprogrammed it, which didn't go down brilliantly with management until I pointed out something simple. My contract did not state that I was on call 18 hours a day. If that's the expectation, it needs to be explicit. And if it's explicit, it needs to be compensated. And if it's compensated, it needs to comply with employment law. Funny how quickly expectations soften when you ask for clarity. But the biggest issue wasn't contractual at all, it was cultural. We believe that constant availability equals commitment, and it doesn't. It equals erosion. And I didn't get that in my early years of working, and it cost me a lot. It cost me my family at one point, it cost me my health, and it took a while for me to actually start to realise that, actually, you know what? A lot of the time you think you're indispensable, you're told you're indispensable. But if you left tomorrow, if you left this mortal coil tomorrow, that company would move on without you. You're not indispensable. The only people that you're indispensable to is your family and to yourself. You have to learn that. That's the unique value that you have. And we shouldn't be just throwing that away because someone tells us we need to be working 24 hours a day. It's bonkers. I guess within that, there's also another lie, which is the productivity lie. Here's the hard truth. We have some of the longest working hours in the Western world and some of the lowest productivity rates. Study after study shows the more hours people work, the less productive they become. There's a tipping point. Short-term gain, long-term decline. Burnout, illness, disengagement. It's the woodcutter story all over again. If you keep chopping without sharpening the axe or the saw, you slow down. Sharpening feels like slowing, but it's actually optimization. And that's the productivity lie. We have to take time out to sharpen the saw. I keep coming back to this. And it's really important that we understand, as management in particular, that our people are going to be more productive if they feel that their work and life is in balance, if they get that break, if they get to be left alone on an evening to be with their family. It's so important. Now, there's a quote that I love, and it goes, when people go to work, they shouldn't have to leave their hearts at home. And I can't remember off the top of my head who said that now, but it's in the book, so go and look it up. U2.0, build yourself better. But it's not soft thinking, it's strategic thinking. If you want good work, you need whole people, and whole people need recovery. So if you're a manager listening to this, ask yourself, does this email really need to go out now? Is the stress I'm creating worth any marginal gain? And if I need extra effort, what am I, as a manager, giving back? So if it is urgent, it really is urgent, it needs to be done, and you have to bother your staff at home at 10 p.m. that night, make sure that you give them something back in return. It just, and don't say, well, I'm giving them a job, or I'll let them have half an hour extra in bed all this week. No, you need to really, really go the extra mile to reward them for that. Because leadership is not urgency distribution. It's energy stewardship. And that is the lesson that as managers we all need to learn. So within that, then, you have your own personal time reality as well. Let's turn the lens inward, in other words. Be honest with yourself. Do you check email constantly? Do you react to every alert? Do you leave your work phone on at home? Do you take it on holiday? If yes to even a couple of these, let alone most or all, you are not more productive. You are more interrupted. And here's what interruption does. Your inflow, writing, building, thinking clearly, ping, You check it, you respond, you come back, flow gone. Research shows it can take up to 20 minutes or more to re-enter deep focus after interruption. And that's whether the interruption lasted 30 seconds or 30 minutes. It doesn't make any difference. So those quick checks, they're not quick. They're a cumulative erosion. And it's this other kind of urgent versus important idea that you need to look at. Most of what lands in your inbox is urgent. Very little is important, and we confuse the two because urgency feels significant and significance makes us feel important. Bertrand Russell once said, one of the symptoms of an approaching nervous breakdown is the belief that one's work is terribly important. That's the message that I was trying to give a little bit earlier in this episode. That's uncomfortable, but it's liberating because the majority of tasks really are not life or death. We behave as though they are. We've been conditioned to behave as though they are. And that's what people at the top would really like us to believe. But they're not. If you left that company tomorrow, they will continue without you. And so why are we constantly berating ourselves and beating ourselves up and putting ourselves in this position where we are working ourselves literally to death because other people tell us that we have to do it? It's not. I don't care how much money they're paying you, it isn't worth your life. It's just as simple as that. So let's have a look at a couple of simple shifts then. So let's ground it, in other words. Here are some simple steps. 1. 80-20 rule. 80% of your meaningful output comes from 20% of your actions. Identify that 20% and protect it. It's important. Get those 20% done first, and that's 80% of what you need to do, or your outputs, or your achievements, or your goal moving. It's all in that first 20% of work. 2. Plan your time. Thinking is hard work. You know that from our catchphrase here on ThinkWorks, because thinking is the hardest work that you can do. Most people avoid it because they feel like if they're sat thinking at work, then maybe people will frown upon it or think that they're being lazy. So you need to block the time out to think. Cluster your tasks and stop fragmenting your day. 3. I have something called the top 6 pick and mix as an idea. This is when you are feeling really kind of overwhelmed. You've got a lot going on. You're under a lot of pressure. So every morning during those phases, list everything. Pick the 6 most important and do them in order. Not the easiest, the most important. Get those 6 done before you start looking at other things. And 4, just cut it out. Trim off, turn off alerts. Check the email 3 times a day only. Not every time it pings. In fact, turn the ping off. Turn off the work phone at home and do not, under any circumstances, take the work phone on holiday with you. It's a lesson I didn't learn for a very, very long time, I have to say. It's a lesson I learned hard. And yes, it feels uncomfortable at first because you're feeling a withdrawal from reaction culture, but it's really important that you do, because the more that you can rest your brain, the more that you can focus physically on things that you enjoy doing, then the more charged, recharged and energetic you're going to be when you go back to work on the Monday morning after the weekend or whatever. The more energetic you'll be, the more energetic and relaxed that you are, the more productive you will be. And that will be noticed much more than you taking 10 minutes out each couple of hours to sit with your eyes closed and just think about what you're doing and what needs to happen next. Now, in every chapter of my book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, we have a Take a Bite section, and I'll be doing this in the Take a Bite Tuesday exercise that we do in the community group on my site, darreninform.com. But here it is anyway, if you want to just do it now. Imagine you add 30 uninterrupted minutes. What would you do? List all the possibilities. Now ask yourself, how do I create those 30 minutes? The answer is brutally simple. Switch off the phone. Reclaim the space, and even one small boundary shift will actually move your energy. It's just incredible how these things work. You'd be amazed if you can keep, you know, just keep that process going for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then it becomes a habit, and that's what you need to be doing. And you'll see your productivity ticking up and up and up, and so will management. And as managers, the more that you can do that and enable your staff to take that thinking time out, to take that resting time at home, the more you will also see the productivity starting to go up. So a closing reflection then. You will still experience stress. It's just, you know, normal life, business life in particular. You will still have deadlines, and you will still sometimes overcommit. I do it all the time, even now. But you are not going to be permanently reactive if you work in the kind of ways that we've just suggested. Work and life are not enemies, they're rhythms, and rhythm requires a pause. It's really important. So stop telling yourself you have no time. Start telling yourself that time is perception. You know, time is an illusion. Lunchtime, doubly so, said Douglas Adams, and he wasn't kidding. Focus on what is important. Plan deliberately. Protect recovery. Sharpen the saw. And that, my friends, is the end of this episode. So come and check out the forum. Come and join me, because there's always a post for each episode that we do for you to come and comment in and share your own experiences or your own ideas about how we can more effectively manage our time and get our lives back into a work-life harmony rather than a work-work-work-work-life balance. Yeah, it doesn't work. It shouldn't work that way, and we need to change it. And you, as an individual listening to this, can start it in your organisation by drawing the line. Thanks very much, folks. I'll see you next week. Take care. Keep asking questions.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at @darreninform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to Think Works, the podcast for thinkers.